You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July 21, 2022, we are live streaming right now at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA. One word, Larry Connors, USA, and you will suddenly be right in the studio with us, watching as we're on the air. So it's very simple for you to do. Now, you heard in the network news a story that kind of got slided over a bit. It's understandable in one part because they don't have a lot of details, but it's worth noting, and it might raise to a higher level. That is that they have identified a case of polio in the U.S. for the first time in 10 years. So they'll be watching to see if other cases show up. They think it probably came from someone in some country where they never got any polio shots or vaccinations. And, of course, how many illegals do we have in our country that came in unvetted, much less checked for any diseases or problems they might have in their particular countries? President Joe Biden is heard testing positive for coronavirus just hours after he got back to the White House from that trip to Massachusetts. They say he has only mild symptoms, little fatigue, runny nose, a cough, basic flu-type things. Has been wearing a mask in public during any of his trips recently, but not only here in the States, but we also, if you recall, going across the ocean to the Middle East and in Saudi Arabia and Israel, he wasn't wearing a mask either. So they're trying to determine who might else be exposed. And in the process of delivering one of his speeches yesterday at a shuttered coal plant in Massachusetts, he mentioned that it's why I and so damn many other people grew up with cancer. No one knows what he's talking about. Are you talking about you had cancer? You have cancer? Or were you talking about your son, Bo, who died of cancer? No reporters are asking the question. The same thing they don't really press Alejandro Mayorkas about the crisis at the border. He's appearing in Aspen at a conference earlier this week, said there is no crisis, and everything's good. The border is secure. But then he did make clear, you understand there's a difference between the border being secure and safe. He said there are smugglers that operate on the Mexican side of the border, and placing one's life in their hands is not safe. Is he ignoring those that are brought across the border by the cartel and turned over to pedophile gangs or other gangs that want them to commit crimes for them, that it's safer here? He has no idea what he's talking about. Oh, and Democrat strategist Paul Begala says, hey, don't worry about the Hunter Biden story interfering with the elections coming up, being 2022 or 2024. He said, I just think a lot of people feel bad that Hunter Biden suffered so much. You know, the other reason, Paul Begala, that they might not be that affected by it at the polls is because they have inflation to worry about. They have illegals to worry about. And, of course, when you look at the major networks, they don't even bother reporting the story. They're just trying to ignore it. A Pennsylvania Democrat is facing a tough run in a midterm election. She says, this is Susan Wild, Democrat of Pennsylvania, and a redrawn 7th congressional district. She said, I might have to, quote, school Trump voters in order to win. In other words, I know more than them, so maybe I need to take them to school and teach them a thing or two. See, that's their egotistic attitude. They know more than you, period. Well, in reaction to that, the Randy Weingarten-led American Federation of Teachers A recent survey shows Republicans are winning on the issue of education compared to Democrats. Who's going to take them to school? And Disney is bringing more wokeness to its theme parks. They used to always have fairy godmothers in training. No, we need to get more transgender. We're going to call them fairy godmothers apprentices, because some of those in training might not be girls. And again, Congresswoman Rice, Democrat in New York, said, you have to quit using the word abortion. You're weaponizing it, and it's hurtful, and it's mean, and it's scary. We're going to discuss that in more detail coming up.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Climate change is literally an existential threat to our nation and to the world. This is an emergency, and I will look at it that way. I said last week, and I'll say it again loud and clear. As president, I'll use my executive powers to combat the climate crisis.
There's an old phrase, and it's probably inappropriate to use it, but there's no fixing stupid. And these are bad policies. They have been bad policies that led to awful consequences. And these guys just keep pumping the same bad policies. You know, the old country phrase here in Tennessee and Kentucky is there ain't no lesson from the second kick of a mule.
I love that line. That is Art Laffner. He was a Reagan economist. And he's talking about how the Biden administration and all the groupies around them just keep pushing for climate change, and they don't get what they're doing to the economy. They don't see the connection. They don't understand it. Or the bottom line is they just don't care. And another kick in the head from the mule is going to teach them another lesson. The first one didn't. The second one won't. The third one won't. The mule can kick them repeatedly. They just keep plowing ahead thinking, well, we got an answer here somewhere. We don't know when. We don't know where. We don't know how many people will have to suffer before we get there, but we have a plan. They don't have a plan other than making your life miserable. As I said in the last segment, I'll reinforce this. All Joe Biden had to do when he got into office, the only thing he had to do was be a caretaker of what Trump had already put in place. He'd indicated he was going to be a moderate, that he wasn't going to be beholden or hijacked or controlled by the crazy left green pie in the sky activist. But that's exactly what he is. His numbers have gone to hell in a handbasket, as they say, because He failed on one thing he could have done so easily. Just be a caretaker. Congressman French Hill, Republican of Arkansas, said basically, when you hear Biden talk about how bad the climate is, and then when you hear the talk, but you watch the walk of him and other Democrats, if climate change is critical, is it? Congressman Hill.
If climate change is in fact an existential threat to the globe, then why does he let China, Russia, India, most other countries outside Europe, and the United States off the hook for things that emit carbon? He should be promoting an international nuclear energy policy. He should be telling China and Russia and India not to burn coal, but to switch to natural gas, switch to nuclear. So it's just not credible what he said in Massachusetts yesterday.
No, it's not. I'm looking at a list of the most polluted countries in the world. Now, it depends on when the list was compiled as to which countries you find at the very top. When you look at a report that just was issued in April of this year, 12 months from the publication date of April of this year, the 10 most polluted cities begin with Lahore, Pakistan, followed by Delhi, India. Then you got Bangladesh, a city in Bangladesh, one in India, another one in India, another Pakistan, one in Mexico, then India again. If you look at the, and apparently Delhi is considered the world's most polluted capital and for the fourth consecutive year. But then if you look at the rank overall, you find Bangladesh, Chad, Pakistan. You know where you find the least pollution? That would be in a mixture of the top three being island countries, two of them being Cape Verde, Caribbean, Netherlands, Bonaire, so forth, Finland. So when they keep pushing this, and I told you earlier that Germany was going to go along with the Paris Accord. They signed on to it, as did Paris, of course, because they're going to stick to it. They're going to reduce all their emissions. They had oil and gas coming from Russia. They shuttered their coal mines. They were planning on shutting off the last three of their nuclear power plants by the end of this year. Then the Russian invasion happened. And Russian oil and gas supplies got cut by 20%, then 50%, and who knows what it's going to be tomorrow, if they're going to get any at all. And the pressure is on for no country to buy from Russia. And then we, under the Biden administration, take oil out of our strategic reserve and sell it off to the highest bidder, China, getting the majority of it. And the oil they release for U.S. consumption, 2 to 3 days max. Germany has been told by their energy czar that if we do not start making up for the loss of this oil and gas, if we don't get the coal mines fired back up again, and all the oil and gas is shut down, we last maybe 10 weeks. So the Germans are now reconsidering their situation. France is reconsidering. And all of them had been warned as 40 years ago from Reagan, more recently by Trump, and they laughed at Trump. They ignored Reagan. They went ahead and did what they said, don't get yourself in bed with them so deep you can't get out. They did it anyway. And now they're seeing the consequences when it was already laid out for them in advance. And Biden continues to push that climate change is, this is everything. This is everything. Maria Bartiromo was asking Congressman French Hill, Republican of Arkansas, who is Biden listening to?
Well, two lawmakers that happen to really support climate as an existential threat, and it's the only thing they're focused on, happen to be from Massachusetts. John Kerry, Ed Markey. He listens to AOC when she's not having a fake handcuffing out at the Supreme Court. She's busy talking about how the world's going to be underwater in 5 years. So he's not listening to people that have a rational understanding of the math and science around how to decarbonize over a transition period while we still have consumers and industry fastened to a fossil fuel industry that's essential. He didn't fly to Saudi Arabia on a solar-powered plane. He burned more fuel flying over there and back than he did in cutting a deal to have the Saudis pump more oil. So it just doesn't make sense, and the hypocrisy really stinks.
Oh, it stinks, all right. That reminds me, though, what he just said about AOC saying the whole world's going to be under, most of the world will be underwater in 5 years. We've got to call Obama. We've got to tell him, you need to sell that house at Martha's Vineyard. You're only a couple of feet above sea level now. You need to get out of there. Do you think he believes that's going to happen? Nope. He's not moving. That's why he bought it there. He does not believe all that's going to happen. And the energy policy is leading to inflation. The European Community Board, Central Bank, I should say, raised their rate half a point. That is the first raise they've had in 10 years. They haven't raised their rates, but now they have. Next week, our Federal Reserve is meeting. The early talk is, don't expect a quarter point, not even a half point, not even three. You should look for a one-point jump. There will be some people jumping at that point if they raise it a full week. Former Reagan economist Art Laffner was also with Maria Bartiromo, and they were discussing where the economy stands now.
You've got researchers at Citigroup calling for a global recession being a clear and present danger. Citi economists are forecasting a 50% chance of a recession in the next year. Art, your thoughts on what the second half looks like?
Can I just say, how can they forecast a 50% chance of a recession when it's already happened, Maria? The first quarter was negative. This second quarter probably is negative as well, if you believe the Atlanta Fed. The recession is already here. It's already happened. 50% is just a silly number. We're in a recession. The question is, how bad is it going to be? And I think with some of the things happening, with Joe Manchin's blocking the next big Build Back Better, with the Fed finally realizing that interest rates need to go up and go up a lot, with the ECB doing this, I think the risks of a real bad downturn are diminishing quite substantially, and that would lead to a nice market response.
That would be. That would be a nice market response if, and Laffner makes it clear, it's going to really depend on who's going to be in control of this nation and our economy. And that takes us to the door of the elections.
I am hopeful that the elections and all of the changes that are coming through will lead to a substantial market response in the positive direction. I'm still very worried, but these pieces of news are good. You're seeing some of the increased unemployment claims. That you're going to find that's happening. We are in a recession, and this is going to last for a while. So the less damage it does, the better off we will be, and the better off the markets will be.
That would be. That truly would be better off, wouldn't it? But as we stand here today, there will probably be no way to stop your food increases going up in 2 to 3 months, just in time for Thanksgiving and the following holidays. Then maybe we'll get it back under control. But the cost of fuel, it may drop a couple points, pennies here and there, but that's still not enough to change things compared to where we were if Joe Biden had just come in and been a caretaker, not burning the house down. And the other part of this, when Biden talks about we have to deal with the climate, we have to do that, and he knows damn well that that also affects the cost of everything. It fuels inflation by raising the cost of fuel. because he doesn't want to use our oil and gas. He would rather go to a country that mines it, drills it in a dirtier fashion than we do, and use that. So if you're going to, you can't just be one nation that you're obeying all the climate rules when everyone else is not obeying them. It doesn't happen that way. We're not living in a vacuum. You'd have to be on another planet, which Biden might well be. Lafner, again, the former Reaganite economist on response to Biden's approach to climate.
There's an old phrase, and it's probably inappropriate to use it, but there's no fixing stupid. And these are bad policies. They have been bad policies. They led to awful consequences. And these guys just keep pumping the same bad policies. You know, the old country phrase here in Tennessee and Kentucky is there ain't no lesson from the second kick of a mule. And these guys are just doing it. I just hope we punish them badly in the election and then can change to much more rational, tight money, tax cuts, increases in supply, and bring that inflation down with a good economy.
And a lot of Democrats are probably going to help do that because they walked away from their party. Because they are suffering too. Now, if it were possible for the Biden administration to say, all of this is only going to make Republicans and conservatives suffer only, they would do it. But this, instead of a tide that lifts all boats, this is a tide that is dropping all boats into the mud. Coming up, Project Veritas caught a member of CNN talking about what they're going to be doing on their next project, and it involves climate.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
They've already announced inner office that once the public will be open to it, we're going to start focusing mainly on climate like global warming, and like that's going to be our next it's going to be our focus. Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
Climate change awareness, the next focus for CNN. That is a Project Veritas undercover video speaking, you were listening to, Charlie Chester, listed as a CNN tech director. Now, I don't know the full layout of hierarchy at CNN, but generally a technical director doesn't have any control over content. They're just told, here's what you do, make it happen, and or they may be literally pushing buttons to put something on air. So I don't really know how to define what they're calling a technical director. But he's not in a decision-making position. He's just simply taking orders. And he said, they're already talking about it. What new fear can we put into the American people? We don't have COVID to make them stay away from the polls and to change their minds about voting and use mail-in ballots. We need to start pushing climate change, which is what we are seeing over and over, aren't we? It's an echo chamber, and once they start it, I don't know when that recording took place, but I do know something he's going to say in a moment will indicate it's some months ago. So it's already in place. But again, this is a Project Veritas undercover video. Doesn't show a date on it, but does talk about to how they're going to instill the next fear for Americans. Since COVID's no longer a fear, let's make them concerned about climate. Let's pick up the interview again.
So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
What does that look like?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I have a feeling it's just going to be constantly showing videos of like decline in ice and weather warming up and like the effects it's having on the economy, and really talking
about it.
Head of the network, like, just...
Who's that? Is that Zucker?
Yeah. I imagine that he's got his counsel, and they've all, like, discussed, like, where they think...
So that's, like, the next...
pandemic-like story, like, that will beat to death. But that one's got longevity. You know what I mean? It's not like... There's a definitive ending to the pandemic, or, you know, like, it'll taper off to a point that it's, you know, not a problem anymore. Probably think it's going to take years, so they'll probably be able to milk that for quite a bit, you know.
Milk it to death. Now, him saying that Zucker is ahead of CNN, that tells you that it had to be done prior to May of this year, because Zucker left CNN and as head of that organization in May, now replaced by a guy by the name, I think it's pronounced Light, L-I-G-H-T, or C-T, L-I-C-T-H-T, L-I-C-H-T. I haven't bothered to learn it, and should get around to it, I know. Let's just call him Chris for right now. Who knows how long he'll be there, because he's already wanting to reshape the network, say, we need to be less polarizing. We need to be more unbiased. We need to... Well, then you want to become a real news organization? It's funny, on their Twitter account, CNN, with their logo, that has a little blue check on it, they write, it's our job to hashtag go there and tell the most difficult stories. For breaking news, follow CNN Breaking and download our app, because basically they're saying, we will go there and tell the most difficult stories. And I would add an asterisk and say, and you'll also go there and tell the fattest lies, because you're not going to let the facts get in the way of a good narrative, as evidenced by this Project Veritas undercover tape where a CNN employee said, we've already been told climate change is the next thing. We need to ramp up that. Milk it for all it is. Fearmonger the people again, not with COVID, because it will be going away eventually. But climate change, now that's something we can grab hold of. Before we wrap up today, you're going to hear an interview and exchange between John Coleman, the founder of the Weather Channel, and Brian Stelzer of CNN. And it's going to be a very good, interesting conversation, because John Coleman tells Stelzer, you don't know what you're talking about when you speak about climate change. You want to hear that coming up. But before that, we know that already there are complaints about pro-abortionists. I know they don't like the term, tough. They're worried that states will try to keep women from leaving their state to go elsewhere to get an abortion. What's the Constitution have to say about that possibility? That possibility. Sarah Perry from the Heritage Foundation will join us shortly.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My guest is Sarah Perry. She's with the Heritage Foundation, focusing on constitutional issues, civil rights, proper role of the courts. Sarah, glad to have you on board.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let me pick up with a piece that we're hearing a lot about, and that is and I want to reinforce this with the audience, just as you might hear some say, you can't get an abortion in the U.S. anymore, that's not true. And so if they also tell you that states are going to ban women leaving their state or even going through their state if they're en route to an abortion, that they and those helping them could be punished, there is no such law enacted at this time. Missouri has a bill pending that would enforce abortion restrictions through civil lawsuits if the abortion is administered outside the state to a Missouri citizen. Sheriff, first of all, where are we on state and federal government law? And the Constitution referenced states' rights on, now it's been decided by the high court, they will decide what their abortion laws are. But also now we're talking about restricting travel or verifying why you're leaving the state and where you're going.
So after the Dobbs versus Jackson Hole Women's Health case, we knew this issue was sent back to the people and their elected representatives. Well, as of today, 9 states have banned abortion completely. 4 more have bans that will occur probably within the next month or so. And 8 other states have bans that are blocked in litigation. And these are bans that could be gestational age bans, they could be heartbeat bans, or they could be trimester bans. But 9 of them is the only state at play here right now. 9 states have successfully banned abortion completely. What we're seeing now is this constant dialogue on whether or not states can ban travel to another state in order to procure an abortion. But what this is essentially a repetitive hysteria coming from the left on abortion regulation post-Dobbs.
Scare tactic. A scare tactic.
You got it. And boy, isn't it convenient that we are going into the midterm election season. We know that abortion has been consistently the left's sacred cow. They do not adhere to any careful examination of what a state can and cannot do. They are only concerned with talking points. And so an effort to prevent bans on interstate travel is really nothing more than a talking point. We've seen that already in the federal legislature. But here's the difference. The Constitution, according to the Supreme Court, and has been affirmed many times, indicates that there is a constitutional right to abortion found in the 14th Amendment. Why is this different from abortion? Because abortion also stems from the 9th Amendment via the 14th Amendment. So we say, okay, there's no right to travel in the Constitution, the same way there's no right to abortion in the Constitution. Well, if the justices have told us anything this term, it's that they also look to the text, history, structure, and tradition of the right that does or does not appear in the Constitution. We begin first with the plain letter of the law, and then we go to whether or not states have consistently regulated for or against that right. And for literally centuries, the United States has protected, enhanced, and permitted the right of individuals to travel between one state and another for various businesses. We also know that the 10th Amendment requires each state to recognize the judgments of the other. So this is truly this federal bill that we're seeing preventing bans on interstate travel really only states what the Supreme Court has already determined, which is, yes, there is a right to interstate travel in the Constitution.
All right. Now, let me break down something. You're listening to Sarah Perry of the Heritage Foundation. First of all, let's deal with just something like if a law is reciprocal. Your driver's license would be good in D.C. as it would be here. If you have D.C. laws or, let's say, Georgia laws dealing with gun concealed carry that are different than the state of Missouri, there's no reciprocity necessarily in some cases like that. Is that an issue that could be made a point?
Well, that is certainly going to be a point of discussion. But as it stands now, state A that restricts abortion cannot force a citizen in state A not to travel over the boundaries, the state boundaries, to get an abortion in state B. All it would have to do is recognize that that abortion has actually transpired. Right. So we're going to see, we've seen it already. We will see it in increasing measure. Discussions about those rights that don't explicitly appear in the Constitution. And I will tell you, much of this comes from Justice Clarence Thomas's concurrence, in which she said, well, I'd go back and I'd look at all the substantive due process cases, right? Those concerning the 14th Amendment, the rights that we have identified. But Justice Thomas does not have the vote to take up those questions of substantive due process. And the court was very explicit in Dobbs limiting its decision
just
to abortion alone.
So you mentioned prior cases. I'm looking at a footnote reference, an 1867 case. I'm sure you're familiar with Crandall versus State of Nevada. The court did uphold the right of Americans to travel from state to state. It was upheld again in 99, Sands v. Roe, allowing states to impose abortion travel bans, according to the writer on this piece. Allowing states to impose abortion travel bans would be hard to do without giving states broad power to restrict travel by residents for a wide range of other issues.
Those restrictions are most likely not going to pass constitutional muster. Now, I will say that Justice Kavanaugh, in his separate concurrence, suggested that he's open to kind of a truce, okay? So he said that some abortion-related legal matters concerning specifically jurisdiction will not be difficult as a constitutional matter, but they might be able to find a middle ground. So based on the right constitutionally to travel interstate, it is unlikely that a state can bar a resident of its state from traveling to another one to obtain an abortion. This is likely to be more cut and dry than a lot of these federal Democrats are making it.
But that's all they're after, as you said. It's a scare tactic going into the elections, which brings me to something else. I want to get your view, if you don't mind sharing it. Congresswoman Kathleen Rice, Democrat in New York, suggesting, she said, all I hear from conservatives where the word abortion is a negative term. She said, we need to stop throwing that word around. It raises emotions above having a reasonable conversation. Abortion is a word that's been weaponized. Well, of course, she immediately got a lot of hit back on Twitter and others saying, okay, let's just go with terminating a baby in the womb, or calling it just flat-out murder. Would that be better? What is your thought in that sense that the word abortion itself, we need to just redefine that word to begin with?
Listen, if we have any issue with this, I would say Representative Rice and I will always disagree on that matter. In fact, the fact that it is so inflamed by public passions indicates exactly how important an issue this is.
And
the
it's murder.
Abortion. There, and it's murder, and it has been murder since 1973, regardless of what Justice Blackmun decided he was going to discover in the Constitution. She cannot change the terminology on this controversial an issue and change the outcome. It will never change.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your insight. Excellent essay dissertation for us. I appreciate you taking time, Sarah. I truly do.
Thanks for having me.
We'll do it again. Sarah Perry, an expert on constitutional law with the Heritage Foundation. As we were saying the other day, there's not a single state that's passed such a ban on travel. Missouri has a proposal offered by a legislator. Texas is supposedly doing the same. I would suggest to those legislators, cease and desist. Do not give them ammunition. And that's all you're doing when you come up with some law like that. Just cease and desist. Now, coming up, an exchange and conversation between John Coleman, the founder of the Weather Channel, with CNN and NNN Brian Stutzer about climate change. And John Coleman, well, Stutzer, he should be hiding in the corner by now.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or go to rottler.com.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Clear, Mr. Kenny's not a scientist. I am. He's the CEO of the Weather Channel now. I was the founder of the Weather Channel, not the co-founder.
And I'm glad you did, because I am addicted to the Weather Channel. I watch a lot of cable news.
Now, hold on just a minute. I'm not done. And CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney, and yes, it has become a big political point of the Democratic Party and part of their platform, and I regret it's become political instead of scientific, but the science is on my side.
I don't think we're going to come to a conclusion about the topic right here. What I do wonder,
well, I know
though,
we're
is when
not
you
because
see
you wouldn't allow it to happen on CNN, but I'm happy
that
I got on the air and got a chance to talk to your viewers. Hello, everybody.
There is
no global warming.
I love it. That's John Coleman, the founder of the Weather Channel. That was an interview he did with Brian Stelzer back in 2014. Coleman passed away and 40 years later, 2018, at age 83. But I love that interview because he called CNN out. And, of course, Brian Stelzer's fawning over it. Oh, I love the Weather Channel. You're the founder. I love it. It's all good. He said, yeah, but you guys, you don't know anything about science, and yet you act as if you do. How many times had you been told and are told yet today regarding COVID, vaccinations, immunizations, follow the science? And how many times have I asked, are they talking about follow real science or political science? John Coleman, he basically schooled Brian Stelzer. He said, now, I know you're never going to get the real facts on, because Stelzer said, well, I know we're never going to agree. He said, of course not. He said, because you won't deal with the science. Oh, let's continue that interview.
There is no global warming.
What I do wonder is when you see the government, when you see NASA, when you see other institutions say that 97% of climate scientists agree, do you think they're making it up? What I don't understand is how you square that.
Well, that's a manipulated figure, and let me explain it to you. The government puts out about $2.5 billion directly for climate research every year. It only gives that money to scientists who will produce scientific results that support the global warming hypothesis of the Democrat Party, a position. So they don't have any choice. If you're going to get the money, you've got to support their position. Therefore, 97% of the scientific reports published support global warming. Why? Because those are the ones the government pays for, and that's where the money is. It's real simple. But that doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't make it true. That only makes it bought and paid for. The money goes in circles.
I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to try to refute you on
the facts.
Boy, that's
the truth.
So I'll simply say that the vast majority...
Please stand back from this issue and let the two sides be on the air.
Stelzer stuck his foot in his mouth. Well, I'm not a scientist. He said, well, that's the truth. Why don't you stand back and let the two sides get on the air and really debate it for you? And Coleman told him, that's why all those scientists come up with those conclusions. You want the money? Here's the report we need. Now, that's not a real difference than you and your J-O-B. Your employer wants you to do a certain thing. If you do it, you get paid. You don't do it, you don't get paid, you don't have the J-O-B. It's that simple to understand. But they weaponize climate change, like now they're trying to claim the word abortion is being weaponized because it's horrific sounding. An abortion is horrific. And it is murder, as we were discussing previously. You can toy around and change and rewrite your own dictionary, do all this, but you haven't really changed the essentials. You haven't changed the science. Oh, I know there are those out there that say, well, we can wipe out history. You're not wiping out history. You're just covering it up, and you're certainly not rewriting it. History is history. God, most people are smart enough to know that. I hope that you're surrounded by those people. For the others, in some cases, probably don't even bother getting in an argument. Because I do say sometimes, let's drop the volume and let's find things where we can agree on things. And let's talk about your grandkids. Let's talk about, did you see Top Gun Maverick? Something like that. But then if they want to get back into it, your attitude is, I didn't start the fight, but I'll finish it for you. Same thing we say about a Marine. A Marine can be your very best friend or your worst enemy. Which one do you want? I remind you, we are live streaming our programs at rumble.com. If you're listening right now, you should go to rumble.com later and pull up that podcast of today's program. It'll be posted at some point overnight, I guess. Go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA. It'll take you to that page and be there for tomorrow for live programming. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.